Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever applies in whatever which of the 24 time zones you're in around the world. I'm Art Bell, and this program, heard in all of them, is Coast to Coast AM. Great to be here. It is a Friday night, Saturday morning, and I'm going to break a little with tradition tonight. And because we did an open line show earlier in the week, we are going to have guests. Plural. It's the GIS folks tonight, and they are some of the freakiest guests you'll ever hear. Actually, they're okay. It's what they do that's kind of freaky. And I never really have become comfortable with it. They take, it's electronic voice phenomena, that's what it's called. And they take tape recorders with brand new tapes, never recorded upon tapes before. And they frequently go visit graveyards and other, you know, jails and hospitals and places like that. And they do recording and they get results. And what they get would appear to come from the other side. So that's what we'll do in the next hour. This hour, open lines. A few items for you. Of course, it's all Utah at the moment, and the Olympics are everywhere. In a powerful display tonight that launched the nation's first Olympic Winter Games in 22 years, that's been a while, an honor guard of U.S. athletes, accompanied by New York police firefighters, entered Rice-Eccles Olympic Stadium, clutching the tattered flag recovered from the ashes of the World Trade Center. A hush fell over the crowd at the sight of the fragile banner, a giant hole ripped through the red and white stripes. President watched along with the International Olympic Committee. And so it begins. But it begins in a different sort of way, with snipers peering over the top of the rooftop, helicopters hovering overhead, a $310 million effort to protect the Olympics, $310 million. 59 agencies, 16,000 security workers. It's incredible, and I hope it's a great Olympics. And then there's a whole lot of Enron news. Through a spokeswoman for former Enron chairman Kenneth Lay, who said today he hadn't decided what he's going to do about his scheduled Senate testimony on Tuesday. They're optimistic Lay would answer questions, but there have been an awful lot of I don't recalls from other witnesses, so we'll see. We've got the Taliban foreign minister, who has given himself up. We are transporting more Taliban to Cuba as we get them. They're covered by the Geneva Convention, but not as war, prisoners of war, POW, so I'm not exactly sure what their status is. I'm not even sure our government is sure what their status is going to be and how they're going to be tried, if they will be tried at all. You may recall that certain promises are made to those who have the religious affiliation that Osama bin Laden is said to have. And so I thought I would just lay this on you. After getting, and we still don't have Osama, this is really a curious thing. If they don't ever find him, then the legend of bin Laden will be around forever. You know, he will be, no doubt, thought of as cloned, like Hitler and others that have just sort of disappeared off the face of the earth. Anyway, after getting nailed by a daisy cutter, we can hope that happened, Osama bin Laden made his way to the pearly gates. He was greeted by George Washington, who yelled, "How dare you attack the nation I helped to conceive," slapping Osama in the face. Patrick Henry next said, "You wanted to end America's liberty, so they gave you death," and punched Osama right in the kisser. James Madison up next said, "This is why I allowed the federal government to provide for the common defense," kicked Osama right in the groin. Ooh! Osama was the subject of similar beatings from John Randolph of Roanoke, James Monroe, and 67 other people who had the same love for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as Osama writhed in agony on the ground. Thomas Jefferson picked him up and hurled him back to the gates to be judged. While Osama waited his turn, he screamed, "This is not what I was promised!" An angel replied, "I don't know what you expected. You were told there would be 72 Virginians waiting for you." Okay. I tell you, there are, let's see, 4 national stories now about Enron. It is beginning to take over the news while the war goes to the back burner. Interesting email, and I followed up on it. It says, "Hi, Art. My name's Rich, and I'm from Horsham, Pennsylvania, close to Linda in Jameson. 2 schools have been closed in Montgomery County, both in Quakertown, due to a strange, itchy, bumpy rash hundreds of students have come down with. Hundreds! Today the rashes have been reported in yet 2 more schools, 30 miles from the original outbreaks. Health officials are completely baffled about the rash and its cause. Cleaning agents first suspected as a possible cause have now been ruled out. The rash begins as a red area that itches, and when it fades, it leaves behind bizarre bumps on the skin. This was all reported first last week when the first school was shut down. Quarantined students rushed to a local hospital to be washed down. Video footage of health officials in their biohazard suits and masks has the look of an apocalyptic plague. All known contagious viruses have been ruled out. We do indeed live in strange times, and so here is the newspaper article on it. Health officials are still stumped about what's causing students at 2 Bucks County schools to break out in rashes now. Youngsters at a school in Montgomery County are complaining about a pink burning rash. The mystery rash has now shown up at the Springfield Intermediate School in Roysford, Montgomery County. 10 students there developed a pink burning rash on Thursday. Investigators were at the 2 schools in the Quakertown Community School District that have been closed down indefinitely because of nearly now 100 cases, the newspaper says, of the mysterious rash. So we have no idea what's really going on as we develop new plagues. And we've got a guest, I think, coming up on that perhaps in the next week. By the way, we also have a forensic pathologist coming up on Monday that is absolutely incredible. She is a doctor. And some of the stories that she's going to tell you are going to curl your hair. Not so much about the work she does, which is a kind of morbid for most of us, of course, but about the things that other forensic pathologists will not talk about. And I refer to, and by the way, she is still employed, so she's very brave, I think, to come forward. And so at this point, I won't even tell you who she is. She's still employed doing her job, and she has some definite thoughts and stories on life after death. Now, here's an interesting article. It's entitled, "Teleporting Larger Objects Becomes Real Possibility." And I have sent this over to Keith, if he would like to put the link up. It's from New Scientist. "The dream of teleporting atoms and molecules, and maybe even larger objects, has become a real possibility for the first time now. The advance is thanks to physicists who have now suggested a method that, in theory, could be used to entangle absolutely any kind of particle. Quantum entanglement is the bizarre property that allows two particles to behave as one, no matter how far apart they might be. If you measure the state of one particle, you instantly determine the state of the other. This could one day allow us to teleport objects by transferring their properties instantly from one place to another. Until now, physicists have only been able to entangle photons, electrons, and atoms, using different methods in each case. For instance, atoms are entangled by forcing them to interact inside an optical trap, while photons are made to interact with a crystal. Aha, a crystal. These schemes are very specific, according to the University of Oxford spokesperson. But they have now demonstrated a single mechanism that could be used to entangle any particles, even atoms or larger molecules. Now, what this might mean is that things, you know, products, the end result of factories could be, instead of shipped or trucked or flown, they could be teleported from one place to another. What it might also mean is that now within our grasp, and I refer now to just years ahead, is the Star Trek transporter. Now imagine the impact such thing would have on our airline industry, not to mention other transportation services, if you could just walk into a little cubicle and you're 2,000 or 10,000 miles away instantly. What a world that will be. You'll notice I didn't say would, might be, will be. I believe we are definitely headed there. We may not see it, but our children may, and their children certainly might. Amazing work going on. Now, here is an email that I tend to agree with. It says, Art, I agree with you on your current view of the effect of mind on reality. It occurs to me that mind, and in a larger sense, consciousness, at least partly controls the physical world as we know it. Now, think about that. What we all think about becomes reality. And now, I know you've always had an interest in the concept of time as well. You bet I have. It seems likely to me that time does not really exist on its own, but an aspect only of consciousness. Conceding that Einstein had almost everything right, he might have been more accurate describing the dimension of space-time as space consciousness. Interesting, huh? Man has actually lived by these rules throughout history. It has generally been seen in a religious context, and in the case of Christianity, the power of the mind has been called free will, albeit no one has perceived just how far-reaching free will might be. The act of implementing the power of mind has been prayer. Since time does not exist in a physical sense, prophets do not see through time, but rather the good ones are sensitive to the collective consciousness and are able to perceive what the state of the collective consciousness at a given instant portends for the future. What must give you pause on occasion, Art, is what effect your show might have on the state of the universe when many of your guests are doomsayers and probably affect the thinking of many of your listeners in a scary way. Could believing calamity is imminent by enough people create calamity? Sleep well. Mike, don't think for one second that I haven't given that a very, very, very serious thought as these experiments have continued. Even some of the ones with unintended consequences, like in the last couple of days, they all worry me, and the last couple of days particularly so. We're obviously on to something really big. I've simply taken a cautionary note, and will continue to take a cautionary note, because I am now realizing it. We are on to something big, but you know that it absolutely is real, and you know, we've got to be careful, I think, with what we're doing. We've got to be very, very, very careful with what we're doing. And so I certainly intend to be. I've thought a lot about it. It has kept me awake sometimes when it should not have. You know, just thinking about the whole thing. And whether I'm really doing the right thing or not. All right, we'll take a brief break here. I've got more for you, and then, of course, I will open the lines, and we'll see what's going on. Then, in less than an hour, it's off to the cemeteries, prisons, and hospitals, and voices, real voices from the other side.
Now, we take you back to the night of February 8th, 2002. On Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, one more item for you. And it is a really interesting one. The headline is Human Evolution Finally Over? Scientists are split over the theory that natural selection has come to a standstill in the West, that would be us folks. For those who dream of a better life, science has some bad news. This is the best it's going to get. Our species, says the article, has reached its biological pinnacle and is no longer capable of changing. That is the stark, controversial view of a group of biologists who believe that Western lifestyle now protects humanity from the forces that used to shape Homo sapiens. If you want to know what utopia is like, just look around, because this is it, according to Professor Steve Jones of the University of London, who is to present, and you know, I'd like to interview him. Professor Steve Jones of the University College London, who's to present his argument at a Royal Society Edinburgh debate, is evolution over? It'll be next week. Things have simply stopped getting better or worse for our species. The view is controversial, however. Other scientists, of course, argue mankind is still being influenced by the evolutionary forces that created the myriad species which have inhabited Earth over the past 3 billion years. But basically, this scientist's argument is probably a pretty fair one. We have, with our modern society, the conveniences we have, the medical miracles that we have produced, we have eliminated the process of natural selection. And I'm not saying that the compassion we show when we bring the weak up by their bootstraps and help them and keep them alive is wrong, but the argument is somewhat compelling, isn't it? Think about it a little bit. Think about it a little bit. Now, most people do believe the process of natural selection, the strong survive, the weak do not, provided the engine that was past tense, evolution. And now we have a society where even the weak survive and even prosper. And natural selection is gone, particularly in the West. That's what they're saying here. And I am certainly going to consider that argument as perhaps a very valid one. It may be human evolution here in the West has ended. I wonder what's going to happen in the rest of the world. Will they continue to progress, or when they get to our stage, will they stop evolving?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
Take my problem is all inside your head, she said to me. The answer is easy if you take it logically. I'd like to help you in your struggle to be free. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. She said it's really not my habit to intrude. Furthermore, I hope my meaning won't be lost or misconstrued. But I'll repeat myself at the risk of being crude. There must be 50 ways to leave your lover. 50 ways to leave your lover. You just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just hop off the key and get yourself free. Ooh, slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan.
Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired February 8th, 2002.
It's straight into open lines for the next segment, and then it's to the cemeteries, the hospitals, the prisons, and the other side. I tell you, pretty freaky stuff. If you've never heard the GIS, the Ghost Investigators Society, you're in for a treat or a scare, depending on your point of view.
Now we take you back to the night of February 8th, 2002, on Art Bell's Somewhere in Time.
Now, by the way, this intriguing article on human evolution and natural selection, which sure makes sense to me, comes from The Guardian. Now, I don't mean to bitch unnecessarily, but too much of the news that I have to bring to you comes from foreign sources. And it doesn't mean that it's not accurate. I mean, the Observer is just fine in London, and a lot of other London and European publications are very well-respected, as well-respected as our New York Times and L.A. Times and all the rest of it. It's just that for whatever reason, the news doesn't make it here. Now, there's something on my website that I want you to see. For those of you who think that the hand of man doesn't have a lot to do with anything that's going on with regard to our Earth, I haven't made up my mind about that one, by the way. I want you to look at something that one of my listeners put together. It was obviously done by NASA, but my listener did a particularly elegant job of putting it together. Now, it's under What's New, and it's entitled, I think it's called The Earth at Night. Yeah, The Earth at Night, and many of you may have already seen this, but I don't think you've ever seen it put together as well as it's put together here. This is from, obviously, from the space shuttle, and it is virtually the entire world at night. And you can see how much light there is coming from Earth, as seen from several hundred miles in space, and it's kind of scary because, obviously, we do have some effect. I mean, just look at that photograph and tell me we don't have some effect, because we do. We have to. With this much energy in use, we just simply have to. I don't know. You look yourself. I've been trying to tell you for a long time, looking into space gives you a very different perspective on things. Looking at Earth from space in this context is definitely going to give you a different view of things. So make it to my website, that's artbell.com. Under What's New, just take a glance at The Earth at Night, a particularly well-put-together presentation. It'll kind of rock you back a little bit. All right, here we go. Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Cheerio.
Cheerio, sir. How are you this evening?
Just spiffy.
Yes, this is Dean calling from Tampa, Florida.
Yes, Dean.
Just a quick note about what you were just talking about as far as the view from space. In fact, I've often thought that we should at least put a space-based telescope on the dark side of the moon. But not only that, but put a viewing, some kind of a way that we can actually link so we can actually get a view for maybe even through the Internet or through a computer, because you do truly get a different perspective of the Earth.
You sure do. Have you seen this photograph?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Okay.
A note about the evolution theory.
Oh, yes.
I find it fascinating when I see people who say, well, we stopped, you know, we've ended this, or they think we've been there and they've done that. In fact, I feel sorry for them, sir, because to me every day should be a learning experience, and in the day that we stop evolving as a human race is the day that we might as well just sit down and say, well, we'll just wait for old age and take us away, because frankly, as we've evolved, and it's also we've acclimated to our surroundings as we dig through the sands of time and we see our ancestors.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, what evolution could you cite that has occurred in your lifetime?
Well, maybe not so much in our lifetime, sir, but that's the problem. Maybe we're looking at it in too small of a fraction of a time. I'm maybe
sure.
More looking towards the future, maybe when we start actually reaching out to the stars, because we have a way of, as a human race, at acclimating to our surroundings, and I think maybe...
That's a technological advance, not human evolution. Mm-hmm. Human evolution means a real change occurring to human beings, you know, are actually evolving, not just... inventing a better widget and going
star. No, I don't mean in a technical sense, sir. I mean simply, I mean by if we actually start to move to other planets and things like that, maybe perhaps as we adapt, even as we've seen as our own Earth has changed over the time, I'm sure we have changed as human beings as the Earth itself has changed.
All right, flat out question for you. Do you believe, sir, that evolution is probably a product of the old natural selection thing?
I do, sir, because I think I look at it this way. It's an amazing the way it works, and I think but also you've got to look at it this way. There's a lot of people that say, well, we either were seeded from other planets, we're either seeded through I'm not one to say that we've started off from one cell. I don't believe in that, but I think in a sense we are all connected. And I think, and perhaps if you look at the big picture, maybe we weren't put on this planet in the first place by ourselves. Maybe it was by somebody else's doing.
All right, well, maybe, listen, I kind of like this guy's theory. I really do, and I'd like to have him on the air is what I'd like. After all, I'll say it again. Isn't natural selection the engine that has driven evolution? As conditions change, when we were exposed to those conditions, we changed or died. I mean, to put it bluntly, we either changed or died. And throughout the world's history, as the Earth has changed and the environment has changed, humans have changed. Now we have artificial environments we live inside, protect ourselves against the heat and the cold and the rain and the elements. We protect ourselves against disease. And many of the things that would have continued the process of natural selection in the past, don't we? So if evolution is dependent on natural selection, then this scientist could be correct. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art, your guest you had back a couple weeks ago. He said he's seen a calendar flapping and it stopped on February 7th. He said there would be earthquakes taking place. Well, yesterday I was listening to CNN, and sure enough, there was two quakes in Alaska.
How big?
I don't know. Maybe your viewers from up there could call and let you know. But I thought that was pretty interesting.
All right. For the most part, I have listeners. But, yes, maybe they could call and let us know. All right. Couple of earthquakes.
Thank
you very much, and take care. I remember the prediction. Now, that was not made by the guest. I think the prediction was made by a caller regarding the first week in February. I could be wrong about that, but that's my recollection. They sound like somebody testifying. That's my recollection. Yeah, I've been working for Enron now for about a year. Hi, west of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Mom, I wish you and Ramona happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Very same to you.
This is Maureen from San Diego.
Yes.
Hi. I was listening to Ridley Strieber's Dreamland, and then he had Linton Moulton Howell on.
Yes.
And she was talking to Nancy Copeland, director at Jonestown branch of Pennsylvania Ghost Hunter Society.
Right.
And when they're talking about the United Flight 93, when it crashed, that it's weird because I was listening to this and I was recording this off my radio.
Right.
And I captured a voice.
Hmm.
The two women are talking, and then the voice goes, well, it said something. Would you like me to play it?
Is it short?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
This came from Dreamland, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Okay. Oops.
Let's hear it.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Came from...
Oh, hey. Sorry about that.
Okay. And I listened to to what we heard in the middle of our interview. Exact same sound. It was like...
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I wonder what you got there.
I was listening to it, and
Have you heard the Ghost Investigator Society on the program before?
Oh, yes.
What do you think of that?
Amazing.
Amazing is one word, yes.
And I wrote them an email, and I told them if they could come down to San Diego, you know, I'll be happy to show them the haunted sites here in San Diego, like the Whaley House and Hotel Del. And
yeah, I'm sure that would be good diggings for them.
Yeah.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Well, as much recording as goes on my program and Whitley's and many others, I suppose, from time to time, particularly with the topics we cover, one might expect an occasional odd transmission in the middle of all of it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you tonight?
Okay, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
I was a pre-need counselor at a cemetery.
Oh.
And I got something very interesting to tell you. We had a night where it was like a recognition night for all the families that come to the cemetery.
Yes.
And what we did was that we lit candles for all the, all the markers, all the tombstones.
Right.
And what we did was, you know, by the time I got to the back of the cemetery, it was dark out, and we had flashlights, and I misplaced my flashlight, and I had to walk back to the meeting center without a flashlight. And I saw those orbs. I saw a couple orbs.
You visually saw them?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
And the candles were, like, illuminating them.
And really?
I didn't know what they were until I saw the website. Matter of fact, I saw the website today.
The entire concept freaks me out, sir, because I don't know about you.
Uh-huh.
But when I go, I don't want to be anywhere near my dead, rotting body in the ground.
That's what I thought, too.
You know, I want to be off, you know, with the angels and the beer and the girls from Switzerland and stuff, right?
Exactly.
And let me add my wife. I don't want to be hanging around my old dead body. And so when I hear these things coming from a graveyard, frankly, it freaks me out.
And the thing is, I didn't know what they were. And then I saw the website. I saw the orbs. And I go, oh, my God, I saw those. It's amazing. I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
Do you think you'll ever have an astronaut on?
Well, I've already had several.
Have
astronauts
you?
On, yes.
Okay.
Will I have astronauts on again would be a better question. Yes, I will.
Okay. And can you ask them a question when they come on, the Ghost Hunters?
Sure.
I was thinking about the Titanic. All the photographs of the Titanic.
Yes.
Are there any underwater orbs or anything like that?
Well, all right. We'll ask. Now, the Titanic, of course, there have been several, actually, there's ongoing investigations with regard to Titanic, and those who would... Even thinking about raising, are thinking about raising the Titanic, and others who are saying, look, the Titanic is the appropriate, proper burial ground for many, 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 too many people, and it should not be disturbed. It should be regarded as a burial ground. I don't know how you feel about that. Would the GIS want to get in the vicinity of the Titanic? Well, that would be quite a chore, but it would certainly be an interesting investigation, wouldn't it? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Calling from Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir.
LBJ Land.
Right.
I thought I would share a Hollywood ghost story with you.
A Hollywood ghost story?
A Hollywood ghost story.
There are many of those. Hollywood is a very, very haunted place, you know.
Understandably, with all those broken dreams and all.
Yes.
Well, this starts off in a rather well-known star's house. You've no doubt heard the name of Jean Harlow.
Of course.
And that she was married to a guy by the name of Paul Byrne back in the 1930s. and it ended rather abruptly one night, the marriage that did. Flash forward to 1968, same house, a rather well-known hairstylist and shampoo maker or something like that,
mm-hmm.
is living in the house, and he has to go out of town for a day, and so his girlfriend, he asks her to watch the house during the night while he's gone.
Sure.
So, sure enough, she goes up to bed and is awakened during the night by a god-awful racket. Wakes up, turns on the light, and sees Paul Byrne ransacking the bedroom, looking for something.
Oh.
And, well, ordinarily you'd say, so what? Well,
I wouldn't say so what. I wouldn't say that.
Especially since Paul Byrne had, just happened to be a little bit dead at the time.
Right. I would never say so what to that. I
yeah,
would say,
really.
Get me the hell out of here. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, that's what she did. But when she left the room and got to the second floor landing to go downstairs,
yes,
she saw something that made her just stop in shock.
And that was?
Down at the bottom of the stairs was an apparition of her lover. Tied to the newel post, his neck cut from ear to ear. She became aware of the noise increasing in the bedroom, and being overcome by the shock, she passed out.
Yeah, good. That's a protective measure. I mean, me, I'd probably have a heart attack, and you know that.
Well, here's the real kicker. When the lover came back the next day, she told him about it. And they basically forgot about it and didn't really know that it was a terrifying warning from the future. The man's name was Jay Sebring. The woman's name was Sharon Tate.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, what a story.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy is right. Thanks a lot. just going into the show, that's just great. Well, do you ever wonder about stuff? Like, for example, how many people do you think have seen an apparition, a ghost, a devil, or whatever you want to call it, and had heart attacks and died? The answer is you have no idea, and I don't either, because they're dead. You think about it. How many people do you suppose have died of fright? And you certainly can die of fright. I mean, it can absolutely give you a heart attack, and you can die on the spot. Well, they just can't come back to tell us why they died, why they had that heart attack, can they? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, it's Tom in Seattle.
Hello, Tom.
I kind of disagree with the idea that we've reached our pinnacle in evolution. And, of course,
okay.
It all depends on if you think intelligence is...
Well, what about the concept of natural selection being the engine that drives evolution, though? That does kind of make sense, doesn't it?
Well, natural selection narrows an evolutionary path, but it doesn't really end evolution.
You think?
That's what I think.
Well, you might be right, and this scientist might be right. I never really thought about it until I read this article, but I thought, you know, with regard to the West, our area of the world, Europe, America... he's more or less right. I mean, natural selection here has pretty much ground to a halt, you've got to admit.
Well, yeah, if we're going to live a hunting and gathering type existence, it has.
Well,
but
we live in, hey, look, if it's cold, we heat the house. If it's hot, we cool
right.
the house. We prevent disease that otherwise would get us. We do all kinds of things that protect us and allow us to do things we would not ordinarily do and protect us from things that ordinarily... we would not be protected from. Now,
and all that comes from technology.
It sure does.
And intelligence, and as far as I believe, that intelligence is a genetic characteristic that evolves from not being eliminated through natural selection. People like Stephen Hawking.
Good point. Now, that's a good point. Where would we be without Stephen Hawking?
Or Einstein. Even, you know, he wouldn't have made it as a hunter-gatherer. Unless he invented traps.
It's a good counter-argument. I'll give you that. It's a good counter-argument.
When you narrow an evolutionary path...
And I want you to be... By the way, I want you to be right. I'm on your side. I would much rather believe what you're saying than I would what the scientists
are
saying.
Well, see, I believe that all this technology has allowed genetic traits that haven't been able to surface in the past to sprout up and, you know, produce great people.
Well, boy, but when you get into the genetic argument, then you begin to lose again, because if anything, you would think our gene pool is weakening because of the process of natural selection going away. You start to lose the argument when you go into genetics, because I think probably the gene pool is becoming generally weaker.
Well, that all depends on what you think is successful traits to have in an organism.
I would like to continue this, but we've got a break. Very good call. I appreciate the call. Top of the hour. We're going to cemeteries, prisons, and hospitals, and God knows where, for voices from God knows where. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002. Listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
Into the light, that's where I want to go. Not hanging around a cemetery. That's one thing scares me about what you're about to hear. Actually, there are several things that scare me about what you're about to hear. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are both members of the Ghost Investigators Society, the GIS. The Ghost Investigators Society is a non-profit organization. That scares me. They're not making money. They're not writing books. They're just doing this, dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but they instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena, or those who are just simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, presented will help demonstrate that the consciousness does not survive, consciousness does survive after the body dies, and that these voices may help us give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. So that's what we're up to tonight, and I should advise you up front, this is kind of scary stuff. If you're trucking across the country in an 18-wheeler, and it's dark out there, and you're by yourself, You may not want to do this. I don't know. I say this from having done several shows with them in the past. Now, let me preface just very briefly what they do so that you understand how weird what you're about to hear is. They go to these places, cemeteries, hospitals, prisons, and sometimes just regular areas, but in general, they go to areas that are very likely going to be haunted. And with them, they take very high-quality cassette tape players. And into those players, they put only brand-new tapes, tapes that have never had anything electromagnetically imprinted upon them, have never been recorded straight out of the wrapper. These new tapes go into the machines. And unfortunately, they get results. I say, well, maybe it's fortunate. You know, maybe it does mean that consciousness continues. It's just the manner in which it apparently continues in some cases that always has me bugged. Anyway, we're off to the races shortly.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
Up north now, from where I am, I think, in Utah, to Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth. You're in Utah, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Where are you in Utah?
Well, we're in Ogden. It's actually probably 15, 20 minutes outside of Salt Lake City.
Okay. Maybe it's worth asking you again how, back in the very beginning, you all became involved in taping ghosts?
Well, all of us have been interested in it all our lives. It's something that we've all been fascinated in. And me personally, it's been since I was a child, reading books on ghosts and seeing the picture of the Brown Lady of Wrangham Hall really just it got imprinted on my mind. And I knew when I got older that was something that I really wanted to pursue.
But electronic voice phenomena is not just something, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a trash collector. I thought, you know, there is nothing cooler than riding on the back of one of those giant trucks. That's what I thought. I was maybe 4 or 5, you know. I thought, that's for me. I want to ride on a truck. So it's not like you get to be 4 or 5 years old and you say, hey, you know, I'm going into the electronic voice phenomena. You know, somewhere along the line, this is something so specific that there has to be something that ignites the light.
You know, to be honest, I really was quite a skeptic when I first heard about it.
Were you?
In fact, I almost didn't believe it. I thought it was quite insane to be going into a cemetery in the middle of the night trying to record mysterious voices, and somehow they would magically appear on your tape and interact with you.
Do you now completely reject that?
Oh, absolutely.
The fact that it's insane?
I mean, with the amount of voices that the GIS has recorded, uh-huh. I mean, I don't see how I could not believe it.
How about you, Barbara?
Well, I had read about Radovay many years ago, and so I thought I would try it. I had a very cheap recorder at the beginning.
Did you know Brendan then?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
And the quality of the voices that I did record left a lot to be desired, but I did get voices, and so I just, after a while, I invested in a better quality recorder.
Always using brand new tapes, though?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that bothers me, and I think a lot of the audience will frequently dismiss guests when they hear they're selling a book, or they're selling tapes, or they're selling, I don't know, whatever, you know. They will use that if they don't like the subject or it scares them. They will use that to dismiss it mentally. You know, it's an easy
right.
thing to do. They're out there, hucksters, selling this, selling that, you know, whatever. You guys aren't selling anything, and I think that bothers people.
Well, including
me.
One thing that we have discussed amongst ourselves. We've had a lot of requests since we've had our pictures up on our website of our shirts that we wear. We've had so many requests to sell our shirts, and we've really debated about even doing that, even with people requesting, because we do not want to give the impression like there are so many groups out there that it seems like they're out there just for the money.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want, and I know the rest of the members of GIS do not want us to look like that's what we're doing this for.
Well, I can tell you this. It makes it much harder to dismiss when you hear you have nothing to sell. Much, much, much harder to dismiss.
Our whole purpose is to educate the public about ghosts and the afterlife. And with the voices, I think that it shows that our consciousness continues.
Oh, I do too. But do you think that people really want to know this?
I think there's quite a majority of people, I believe, really do want to know this. Whether they want to believe us personally or not, I'm not sure. But I do believe that quite a majority of people do want to know if there is something on the other side.
Well, I have become slowly but surely, through a series of very serious interviews, convinced there is something on the other side.
See, I think that you've changed a lot in your attitude. Since our first...
I probably have. And I've done some interviews that are just impossible to reject. I know things... for example, I was saying Monday we're going to have a forensic person on. And she is a doctor who, you know, does things that we all probably don't want to know about and certainly don't want to watch, you know, with bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some stories that will rattle us. And I had a lady on who lost all her blood, you know, no brain activity for an hour. She was dead, but things happened. And then there's you folks and a million others that I've had. And, of course, after listening to all of this, your opinion has to slowly slide in the direction of irrefutable proof. However, what's bothering me is where you mostly get these tapes. You go to graveyards. A lot of graveyards. You got to admit that's true, right?
Right. And, you know, and not every graveyard, though, will yield voices. We go to...
Well, I know you always say that, but the majority of the EVPs that you brought on this program have come from where?
Well, a big majority of them have come from...
Graveyards.
Certain cemeteries that we go to.
All right. Well, I don't think anybody wants to think that they're going to hang around their old rotting body once they're gone. You know, there's got to be something better than that waiting around. So it worries me that you find so many in cemeteries. Now, the two of you must have thought a lot about this, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Yes, we have. And I can't explain why there would be, especially like in this one that we go to that has always yielded up some of our best voices, why there would be
so many.
So many.
Mm-hmm.
In this, and the cemetery isn't a very large cemetery. It's a old Pioneer Cemetery.
And you have also told me that a majority, that you get too many children.
We get a lot of children. I've been really surprised at the amount of children.
Do you get more children by percentage than you include in the material that you send for a given show?
Probably.
Yes, uh-huh. I'd say so.
Uh-huh. Well... What do you think that says about the nature of death? In other words, if you die, are you a child forevermore or until a reincarnation, if that is what is to be, or are you eternally a child?
I've thought about this myself a lot, and I know that there have been reports of say like one particular person that has been seen after they have died in different stages of their life.
Hmm.
And one in particular that I'm thinking of, that he was witnessed as he looked as a child. He was witnessed by other people in middle age, and he was witnessed in as an old man.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So I don't know if the reason that we're getting so many children's voices is because people in their thoughts and their consciousness, that was a happy time period for them, and that's what they are thinking about, or if there are a lot of little children's spirits out there. I think I mentioned before that one possibility is because it's so hard for people to let go when they lose a child, and it keeps that child bound.
Bound to earth. All right, let's do it. What you are about to hear is kind of scary stuff, folks. So, you might want to consider whether you want to really listen to this. The first cut we have here, where did you record this?
We recorded this at a private residence. We were just in the process of leaving, and we will always tell any ghosts that are there, we thank them for being with us and for talking with us. And
well, what brought you to the private residence? I mean, why?
They were having ghost activity there.
Okay.
And we were leaving, and you will hear Jenny, in fact, GIS member Jenny recorded this voice as we were leaving, and you will hear her say, "Thank you." And it sounds like a child's voice that says bye-bye.
Really?
And all right. We never have children at a place when we're doing it. If they have children, we'll always ask them to have them over at their grandparents or someplace else, because children have a tendency to become afraid, because we do this in the dark, you know, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not want children to become afraid, so we always ask them to have the children someplace else when we're there.
Makes sense to me, because I wouldn't be there myself. All right, here we go. Listen.
Thank you.
Oh, there it is. Now, I'm going to let you hear this again. It is really quite clear. It does. You can hear the thank you, and then you can quite hear clearly hear the bye-bye, and it does sound like a child's voice. Listen again.
Thank you.
That one's a little clearer, guys. Oh, sorry, guys and gals. That one's a little clearer for my taste, and that does sound like a child.
And for the people that have listened to us on the show in the past, I think the voices tonight, they'll realize they actually come across a little clearer. We actually came across a new plugin for the software that we use, and it enables the voice to come out almost exactly as it appears on the tape.
Really?
So, I mean, I was really impressed by the quality of the voices when we first listened to it and previewed the CD.
Well, I'm impressed with that one for sure. That was a clear bye-bye, and that was a child, and that was in a private residence. And what kind of haunting had been going on there?
Well, there was the footsteps being heard upstairs when no one was up there, and doors closing, you know, by themselves, and things being moved.
Great. And how did they get on to you?
I believe they had seen us on a local newscast that aired in Utah, and they had just emailed, and, you know, we put them through the interview process that we do, and decided that it was something we wanted to look into, so we went down there. I can't remember if we went once or twice.
We did a follow-up. We usually do a preliminary and then a follow-up.
Do you frequently travel to long distances, that kind of thing?
Yes, we do what we can with, since we finance ourselves, we are limited in what we are able to do. If we could afford it, we'd be traveling around all the time, but since we don't charge anything, limited on what we're able to do.
Well, I'm going to give you advice, and that is, I know the temptation is to probably sell T-shirts or certainly to sell tapes and that sort of thing. Maybe the day will come later when you can do that, but I would think while you're in the active part of your investigation, as you are now, that a great deal of your credibility rests, you know, on the fact that you're not doing that. You're not selling things.
That's
and
true.
It confuses people to the point where they listen to you. And I guess maybe a lot of them don't like it because it's kind of nerve-wracking to hear this sort of thing.
And that's
but
really...
My advice would be don't do it.
You know, what you just said is really what we've tried to portray to people. We realize that the second you become in it for the money, you've lost a lot of your credibility.
You got it. Hold it, guys. We're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's a definite bye-bye. And that's a definite child's voice saying it. There were no children anywhere around. Children. All right. We'll take a break here at the bottom of the hour. My guests are Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth from the Ghost Investigators Society. What they do, especially in the middle of the night when it's dark, is slightly terrifying, but irresistibly fascinating. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002. Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired February 8th, 2002.
Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth, the Ghost Investigator Society's on-air representatives are here tonight. And Larry in Huntingdon, West Virginia wants to know what kind of equipment people can use to do this on their own. And I think that's a really good question. One will answer for you immediately following the break. So you might get a pencil and paper ready. We'll also give you contact information for the GIS. I am such a fan of saxophone. We'll be right back.
Now, we take you back to the night of February 8th, 2002, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
All right, I'm going to warn you right now that over the period of time that GIS has appeared on the show, literally hundreds of people have taken up the challenge, and they've listened to the kind of equipment used, and they've gone out and done this on their own, to the extent that people write to me and say, oh my God, Art, I didn't think there was anything to this, I'm really skeptical, I went out and did it, and here's a sound file of something I got. I'm beginning to get all these sound files. Hundreds of people have tried this, most of them with success. So ask yourself whether you really, really want to try this with the information we're about to give you. All right, you two, what kind of equipment would you recommend somebody go buy if they want to try it?
All right. Well, first of all, tape recordings or tape recorders, we use the little microcassette recorders just because it's a portable.
Right. Any specific type you prefer?
Well, we use the Iowa TPM 920s.
I say that again, the Iowa
TPM 920.
920, all right.
And it turns out to give us the clearest recording. Always record in real time instead of quarter time. It'll give you a clearer voice.
Sure.
Always an external microphone. If nothing else, just to cut out the motor noise and the innards of the tape recorder itself.
Right, so always an external mic.
Correct.
The part of that I've never understood and don't understand now is why you need a mic at all.
it's
strange because you've said some of these are occasionally audible. Most of them are not audible, at least to the human ear. And so the presumption would be, sure, ghosts are electromagnetic in nature, and you could imagine a ghost imprinting upon an electromagnetic media like tape the way a tape head would. That's imaginable. But if it's the microphone picking it up, it has a specific frequency range, which begins, around 300 cycles and may go to, depending on the quality of the tape, 15, 20 kilohertz, somewhere up there. Same thing a human ear would hear, roughly, mostly. And so why would you need a mic?
Yeah, that really, that's a real mystery in EVP, period. I've almost got two theories on it. One, like you said, it is imprinted on the tape, and that seems to be an extremely popular theory. And the other one is they use some sort of vibration, being that they don't have their own vocal cords. They use some sort of vibration in the air that's already in the atmosphere at the time, or they're using maybe an investigator's voice to imprint their voice on the tape.
Have you ever recorded one without a mic?
No, but I have heard that it's been done.
Uh-huh. All right, so we've given the people the type of machine they would use. Obviously, they would go to places that are reported to be haunted. Yes, graveyards or prisons or hospitals. And you always need to get permission to do it before you do it. I know you always do that, right?
Yes, and you don't have to do it at night. If people are leery about going out at nighttime, they don't have to do that at nighttime. The reason we do is because there's less noise. There's not so many people out and about.
Mm-hmm.
But we have gone into places at 4:00 in the afternoon.
And then one more thing. Once at a location, you try to provoke the spirits.
We invite them to come and speak with us and join in our conversation and talk with us.
And you always do this in a polite, respectful manner.
Yes.
You treat them just like a person. It may seem weird, especially the first couple of times doing it, but you treat them just as if they were just an unseen person. You talk with them, ask them their name.
All right.
Introduce ourselves.
Okay, we've got a lot of stuff to get through here, so let's try number two, which I see has question marks by it. What does that mean?
Well, this one had question marks by it, but over the last day, Barbara thinks she has heard what it's saying. First of all, it was recorded by GIS member Jenny, and it was in another cemetery. Actually, it was in the back part of the cemetery of the mausoleum that we go to quite frequently. And Barbara actually thinks it says Alma Berg here. And in this cemetery, we think we've seen a headstone with the last name Berg.
Oh. All right. And this just comes out of nowhere, or is it followed?
It'll literally just come out of nowhere. You'll hear the wind blowing a little bit, and then this woman's voice will come in and say, Alma Berg here.
All right, let's try it. that's really creepy, you guys. That's really creepy. I can hear the wind. One more time, folks. I can hear the wind, and then I think she's right. Now, you can say, well, it's being suggested. That is what we should hear, but they have listened to it many times. You can hear whatever you want to hear, but it sure does sound like Alma Berg here. Let's listen again. That's really freaky. I get immediately a lot of people who send me computer messages saying what they think it just said. But, boy, that was pretty freaky. All right, next one, number three.
On this one, we were investigating a old hotel. They're quite fond of the ghosts that they have, and they've documented the ghost activity that's been reported. And we were on our first investigation at the hotel. This night we had rented a room, and they let us have access to the whole place. And we conducted an all-night investigation here.
Mm.
And you will hear Roger say, he was talking to one of the other members, and you'll hear Roger say he tried to joke. And this voice comes in, and it sounds like it says, it's not a joke, it's red.
It's not a joke, it's red. Huh? All right, here we go. Well, I mean, that is what it sounds like it's saying. That's not there's not quite as many highs in that audio. It's kind of a little mushy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But it does sound like it's saying that. Hmm. Are all your members using the same equipment, or do some of them take out other equipment?
As for tape recorders, everybody uses the same exact tape recorder, the same model tape recorder.
We used to use different ones, but we have found that this one that we presently use picks up the quality as the best so far that we've tried.
Why do you believe that to be true? Any idea technically why?
I really don't know. Well, first of all, Iowa has always seemed to be good for us in the first place. The voices, I mean, just listening to the comparison between voices that we have received with the tape recorder we're currently using and the tape recorders we've used in the past, the last voice being a good example, the voices we receive now, I mean, just sound a lot clearer.
Right. More highs in those ghosty voices. All right. The next one.
All right. This next one was also recorded by GIS member Jenny, and it was in a mausoleum. And you'll hear Jenny say, will you please show yourself to us? Will you make a noise? And after you hear it, it's almost the exact opposite of things we played on your show before. It almost sounds like an old woman saying, will you stay here?
An old woman. All right, here we go.
Will you please show yourself to us? May you make a noise?
Will you stay here? Oh, God, that's clearly what it says. Moreover, a mausoleum, you can hear the echo in the mausoleum. Oh, man, listen to this.
Will you please show yourself to us? May you make a noise?
You guys are out of your minds. Out of your minds. That's pretty scary stuff. Have you ever had, and I think I've asked this before, have you ever had a spirit follow you all home?
I believe we have, yes.
Huh. So one would have to consider that at least a possible risk of this kind of work.
Yes. And I kind of expect it to happen now and then. Which doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother you?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Are the two, you know, I don't even know if I've ever asked. You have different last names. Are you boyfriend, girlfriend? Do you live together? Do you live separately? Are
well,
you just friends?
I consider Brendan my son.
Your son. I see. All right.
I've adopted him and Jenny.
I see. All right. Just sort of wanted to check. I've never asked about that, and so
no,
I thought
I would. I've been happily married for 35 years, going on 36.
Then I'm sorry.
And it's not to Brendan. He hasn't been alive that long.
I see. All right. All right. Very good. So we've got pretty good demographics going here. All right. And our next one.
This one was also recorded on that same night at the hotel. One of the girls that was with us had gotten sleepy. We were back up in our room that we had gotten that night, and I says, you'll hear me say, take a little cat nap for a little while.
Right.
And this voice comes in and says, nap cat, and there's a whistle and a meow.
What? Really? All right, let's listen to this.
A little cat nap for a little while.
Now, Gavin.
Whoa, that's pretty weird. How long do you, and in what way do you decide what is being said during these short receptions from the other side? Do you sit down as a committee? Is there a kind of a committee that decides, well, all right, here's what we believe is said, and we'll present this and see what the audience thinks?
No, we really, after an investigation, because it's usually pretty late at night, we'll all disperse to our homes, and we try to listen to it as soon as we can while everything is fresh in our minds. So you figure if you're on an investigation for 2 hours, you go home and listen to the tape for 2 hours.
Right.
And go through the whole thing again.
And people would ask, how frequently do you find something? For every 2 hours of taping that you put in, how frequently are you liable to find something?
Really, it changes all the time. There's nights that we might go to one place and pick up five really, really loud, clear voices, go back the next night and not pick up a single thing.
It's kind of like fishing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting. Is there anything at all that either one of you have learned to correlate with getting a lot of voices versus not even having a little tug on your line? In other words, the cycle of the moon or the kind of weather that's going on or the time of the month or, I don't know, whatever.
I personally think that we get some of our best ones when it's cold.
Really? So, not only then do you have to traipse down to a mausoleum or a cemetery or whatever, but you probably have to do it at night because it's quiet, if for no other reason. Plus, when it's cold, this just sounds more attractive by the minute.
You wear your long johns and really dress warm. And
another big request I'm getting is, how do people get hold of you? I presume they can send you email.
Yes, they can. They can send us email at gis@ghostpix.com.
GIS at ghost, GHOST,
PIX.
PIX.com.
And they can actually go to the website, email us directly from the website, or they can email each individual member of the GIS.
And on your website, you have countless examples of the kind of thing people are hearing tonight, correct?
We do. We have, I believe at the last count, I think we had somewhere along the lines of 130 EVPs.
Wow.
Over 100 photos, 20 videos, a few stories. The only problem is right now our server has actually been down, and it has a lot to do with being on your show.
I understand.
Yeah, so
I apologize. I don't know. I've never known what to do about that. I try to warn guests ahead of time. Are you prepared for what's going to happen? And they always, oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, we have lots of bandwidth. We can do it. We can. Boom. Blows up in the first 15 minutes.
So, well, in our case today, it actually went off before we even came on the show.
Sorry. All right, next one.
All right, this next one, I think you'll like this one. It was recorded by GIS member Roger, Barbara's husband, and it was in the mausoleum, the same mausoleum that we go to quite frequently.
Right.
And he had actually heard this voice a few months ago and never could really figure out what it was saying. And we just, he just barely, right when we were getting ready for this, to do this CD for you, said, I just figured it out. And he said, it says, our death gate.
Our death gate?
Exactly.
Our death gate?
And when we listened to it, I mean, it was just so clear that that's really what it was saying. And it sounds almost like it's from some B-horror movie.
All right, here we go, folks. Let's see what we've got. Oh, God. It does sound like our death gate. This was in the mausoleum, and again, you can almost, you can hear the effect of being in a mausoleum late at night, in the cold, in the dark, and it sounds like our death gate. Gee, that just really gets one looking forward to the other side, listening to that, you know?
Roger had said to these ghosts that are there, he had said about our, to please excuse our lights, because we're flashing cameras, you know, the flash going off, and our infrared video cameras, and our flashlights, and he had just mentioned, he apologized about our lights and to please not let them bother them, that he hoped that our lights didn't bother them.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just made that statement when he recorded that voice. And it almost makes me wonder if it's referring, you know how people, when they have the near-death experience and they mention going to the light?
Yes.
It almost makes me wonder if it's referring to the light as their death gate.
Maybe they're talking about the infamous tunnel.
Yes.
Death gate.
Mm-hmm.
Death gate. The trouble is, the presentation was a little eerie, folks. Our death gate. I mean, that is...
Yes.
It doesn't exactly sound like... I mean, if it was paradise and beer and women and football on the other side, it would be our death gate. Our death gate. But no, it didn't come across that way at all. It came across more as... Oh, death gate.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen. Hold tight. We're at the top of the hour. There is so much more of this to come tonight. We'll speed it up a little bit. These things are... I don't know what to say. These people aren't making money at it. Don't want to make money at it. They're just doing it.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002. We'll be right back. listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 8, 2002.
Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth from the Ghost Investigators Society are with us tonight. And what you're going to hear, if it's the dead of night where you are, is pretty freaky. Be warned, it's pretty scary stuff. We will continue with it in a moment. Stay right where you are.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
Well, all right. Last week on, I think it was on Dreamland with Whitley Strieber, Linda Moulton Howe has reported on a story that's on her website at earthfiles.com with respect to Flight 93. Now, that, of course, was the flight in which one man reported to his wife that he was going to take the damn airplane down. He was going to take matters into his own hands and do what he had to do. He knew what was going on. You remember, he was on a cell phone. These are heroes, real American heroes. And it's being reported by reliable sources, and this is backed up by the information Linda has on her site, that this is an incredibly haunted site. In fact, there is actually a photograph on Linda's site I've just seen of the plume of smoke from the crash of Flight 93. Well, there's quite a story to go with it. You can read it at earthfiles.com. In the meantime, I have received countless fast blasts and emails saying, Art, you need to be aware of this, which I am, and you need to suggest to Barbara and Brendan that this would be a very, very interesting site to get to if they could in Pennsylvania. Have you all considered it?
No. Maybe years from now, but...
You think it's just too sensitive?
I don't think it would be in good taste.
Mm.
I'm sure that I wouldn't be surprised if there's haunting activity taking place there.
There certainly appears to be.
Or at the World Trade Center, just because of people getting killed unexpectedly,
right.
Unfinished business.
That's right.
I wouldn't be surprised at all about it, but I just don't, at this point in time, I myself, the ethics about it, I wouldn't feel good about
it. Well, maybe there are some people in that part of Pennsylvania that will take up the challenge and send us some EVPs from that area, but I respect what you've said. All right, now on to our next one, short and sweet, it looks like.
Yes, I was, you'll hear me ask if is anyone here? And this voice is quite low. In fact, people that are just starting trying this themselves, we always use headphones when we're listening to our tapes because voices can be very, very low sometimes where you can hardly hear them. And this one is quite low, but it answers and says no.
And says no. All right, here we go.
Anyone here?
All right. Yes, I can clearly hear a no there.
We've been told, you know, there's been times when I'll say, "Will you talk to us?" And there will be no.
Well, now there is an interesting question of itself. How many times, percentage-wise, do these entities appear to wish to talk to you versus those times when they've expressed specifically a wish not to talk to you?
Most of the time, they seem anxious to talk to us, but at other times, and it's just like when you come across people that just don't want to be bothered in life, and I think it goes with that person's personality. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to talk with you.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like that, actually. All right, on to the next one.
All right.
This one I think you're going to like just for the fact that it's a form of contemporary information, actually. It was recorded in a mausoleum, and it was recorded by GIS member Jenny. And in it, you'll hear some of the investigators talking in the background. It's so far in the background, you can't even make out what's being said. And this woman will come in and say, "Plastic eyes." And then after you play it, we'll explain exactly why this relates to some form of contemporary information.
Plastic eyes. All right, here we go. Plastic eyes. I can hear the plastic eyes, all right. What do you think that means?
Well, it's very interesting. I called a mortuary yesterday because this bothered me, and I talked to a gentleman that works on bodies at the mortuary.
Yes.
And I asked him if they use plastic eyes when they're preparing a body.
Yes.
And I had never even thought of this, and he says, as a matter of fact, they do. And I don't know if it's just that mortuary or if this is a standard procedure for mortuaries.
Oh, you're kidding.
But he said when a person dies, the eyes fall back into the head. And so they have these plastic eyes that help shape the eyelid. They put it under the eyelid to give
that.
The roundness of sleeping, like if the person is asleep. And it also helps keep the eyes closed.
Oh, God. That's too much. All right, I want to listen again now. See, again, you know, I don't like that. Actually, I don't like that because that implies a continuing connection with the physical body and a complaint about, oh, my God, plastic
eyes.
Yes,
now, see, I feel like this spirit was bothered by this fact.
Well, I don't blame it. Not for a second. It would bother me. It bothers me. There, I'm burning. Baby, burn me, burn me, burn me. All right, onward and upward, I guess.
Well, we were, me and Roger and another GIS member, Barry, we were leaving in Barry's car. We were in the car and we were leaving from an investigation. And I have never done this before. I accidentally left my tape recorder running and I had put it in my bag. And I recorded, while this tape recorder was in my camera bag, two voices that say, "See ya, see ya." And you'll hear Barry say, right after that, he says, "No hitchhikers, everybody out." And then I will say, "If anyone's in the car, please get out. You're not welcome to come with us."
So at that point, you believe somebody was with you?
I believe they were in the car with us.
Oh, great. Here we go.
The sound quality is a little bad because it was in my bag.
I heard it. I heard it just fine. So something was in that car with you. So obviously, a fair amount of the time, some sort of attachment does occur, and you have to sort of cast it out?
Well, we just tell them that they're not welcome to come with us, even though on occasions we have had something follow us home anyway.
And that never gives you pause for concern?
No, but it does. Some of the other members, I can understand why, but it doesn't bother me.
It doesn't, because nothing bad has ever happened to you, right?
I don't consider it bad, no.
Or maybe let me try that a different way. Has anything bad ever happened to you?
No,
Well, that's an awful long pause.
Well, I'm trying to think back if I would consider. The only bad thing negative thing that I experienced was an odor that rushed at me one time, but I was unprepared for it, but that's about the worst thing.
Okay. And what about you, Brendan?
Thinking back, really nothing bad. Anything physical would have, I mean, I'm just pontificating on the behalf of the ghost here, but it would almost seem like it was just to get your attention. I mean, there was one time I mentioned this on your show before that I had been slapped, but, I mean, it didn't hurt. I think it was more just to get my attention and make me realize something was there.
Well, that would get my attention, all right. Okay, onward. What have we got coming up here?
All right. This one was, we were conducting an investigation in a, it's a very old school. I think it's close to 100 years old now.
Uh-huh.
And this was recorded by GIS member Roger. And what had happened is GIS member Jenny had just dropped her tape recorder. She'd pulled it out of her bag and it had just fallen onto the floor. And you'll hear this, it's almost kind of a whisper, but it's an extremely loud whisper that says she ought to break it now.
She ought to break it now. All right, let's see what we've got.
There she gone. There she gone. There she gone.
Yeah, that's pretty clear. She ought to break it now. Is it your impression, the two of you, that it takes a great deal of effort or energy for whatever is on the other side to make itself or to imprint upon the tape anything at all? Is it a great deal of energy and effort or just something that maybe it's as hard for them to do on occasion as it is for you to hear it on occasion? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I believe that it is hard for them to do, otherwise we would be recording longer sentences and you know, more direct information.
Yes.
I mean, I just don't see, if they could do it so well, I don't see why they wouldn't come through in complete sentences or paragraphs. And I have heard of that happening before, but we've yet to experience it.
You know, I might like you to reconsider your position on Flight 93 and even the World Trade Center at this point. You know, I'm not. You do it in such a respectful way that I'm not sure it would really be or even thought of as disrespectful. There are firemen that I've interviewed on the New York City Fire Department that are down taking pictures of orbs, just millions of orbs. It's really freaky. By the Trade Center area. And if it's going to really yield that much information, perhaps you should reconsider. I mean, you do this very, very respectfully. So I understand feelings are all, of course, across this country, incredibly sensitive about all of this. But if it was done the right way, it might be all right.
I think really the only thing that would change our mind is if someone related to that actually contacted us. I mean, it wouldn't be something where we went there and tried to find the people in charge and said, you know, we really want to do this.
Right.
We've heard all these different reports of haunting activity. The only way is if a family member, and even then, it would take a lot of considering.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, on we go to, I believe, number 11.
This was recorded by Roger in a cemetery. Him and Brendan were walking down one of the roads in the cemetery, and they were talking. And Roger noticed two headstones side by side. In fact, one of the headstones was where we had seen a ghost light one night going in and out from this one headstone. And Roger noticed that the two headstones side by side had been born a year apart. And you'll hear Roger say, born a year after the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's and this isn't Brendan. And you'll hear this loud whisper go, wow.
Really? All right, here we go.
Born a year after the other guy. Wow.
Wow, indeed, that was a wow. That really was quite clear.
Well, you have to say that the guy.
It shows that it was kind of surprised itself.
You said you saw lights. Would these be like orbs, or what kind of lights? And you said going in and out of headstones?
Yes, we had witnessed a ghost light in this particular cemetery three nights in a row. And it stayed with us each night for quite a long time. It would blink on and off. It was it had started out about the size of a probably a tennis ball when it was first noticed coming down the road. But as it came down the road closer to us, it became smaller, about the size of your thumbnail. And it would blink on and off. Where we are, it's very dry, and we don't have the fireflies that's common in the back in the east and the south.
Right.
And it just stayed around with us and interacted with us. It got on Brendan's back at one point when he had gotten down on the ground to take a picture of it, and he did get a picture of it.
He did get a photograph of it, and that's on your website?
Yes.
Which is down.
Yeah.
Which is down.
It's been going down quite a bit.
And Brendan's been frantically working, trying to get it back up, but if it goes down this one more time, this is it for the day.
For the count, yeah. So how many photographs are on the website?
We have just over 100, I believe.
Over 100. That's a lot of photographs. Do you take cameras with you on each investigation?
Oh, yes.
What kind?
Sometimes we'll use disposable cameras with a flash.
Right.
Everybody has their own cameras. We have the Canon and Minolta.
How does that affect the spirits? I mean, when you begin taking photographs, does that chase them away or no
well,
effect?
Well, we always ask permission to take their picture. We ask them to, because you wouldn't go and take a picture of somebody you don't know without asking permission.
Uh-huh.
And so we invite them to get in front of our camera and join, if we're taking a group shot, to join with us and stand in for, you know, to get their picture taken. And we get a good response.
All right, you folks on the other side, say cheese. how many visual apparitions have you seen and versus what you've caught on camera that you didn't see at the time?
An actual apparition, you mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I believe I've seen two.
Two apparitions?
Yes.
Actually physically manifesting themselves in front of you.
And I didn't realize it that they were until after.
I understand. All right, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. Brendan Cook, Barbara Macbeth, the Ghost Investigators Society. They record what's called electronic voice phenomena. From where? From the other side, I suppose. You may have another answer, but I haven't heard it yet. I'm Art Bell. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002. Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired February 8th, 2002.
Good morning, everybody. Is it a good morning for you? Plastic Eyes. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth are my guests from the Ghost Investigator Society. And we've got more tracks for you coming up. Tracks from the other side.
Now we take you back to the night of February 8th, 2002, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Once again, into the night we go, hopefully in the comfort of your big rig, your car, your home, wherever you are, not in the middle of a cold, freezing mausoleum in the middle of the night. That's where these folks have been. And here comes number 12, which is interesting because it has question marks by it.
This one does because every member hears something different.
Oh.
It's really one of those voices that we just can't pinpoint any real key words in. It was recorded in that the investigation of the old school that we talked about earlier.
Right.
And in it, you're going to hear a woman, and she's off in the background almost. And I think that's one of the reasons we really can't understand what she's saying. But it's almost, I guess, like a 3 or 4 word sentence.
Okay. All right. Let's see what we've got. Well, you're sure right. I cannot make out what's being said.
It's just there's too many different interpretations, I guess, we could have on that. And every member has heard different things. Barbara, I think, heard Subject Rainbow Gardens.
Really? Subject Rainbow Gardens. I think I can hear the gardens, Rainbow Gardens part. I don't have any idea what that means, and I presume you don't either. Or do you, Barbara?
Well, there is locally, there is a place called Rainbow Gardens here. It's quite an old place.
Oh.
This was recorded in the auditorium, and I can see where a student at one time would have done a talk on this location, just because of the history of this Rainbow Gardens.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got a lot to get through. I want to get to some phones tonight and allow people tonight, if we can, to ask you some questions. We don't get to that enough, so let's see if we can get through these. The next one, number 13, where was this done?
This was at a hotel while we were conducting an investigation, and I recorded this voice that says, "You can't smoke."
God, even in the afterlife, huh? Let's see if it really says that. It does say you can't smoke. Are you a smoker?
Yeah.
You are. Uh-huh. Let's hear it again. It's never going to be over then, is it?
Your desires stay the same.
That's right, and I bet. Well, I don't even want to comment on what it's like on the other side for smoking. Oh, that was something. As a matter of curiosity, were you at the time smoking?
No, you can't smoke inside.
That's funny. All right, onward and upward.
All right, well, this was recorded by GIS member Roger, and it was in a mausoleum. And in the clip, you'll hear Roger say, "Are you close to me?" And this is kind of another whispery, low voice. and the voice, it's a woman's voice that says either of course or Colette.
Of course, and the question was, are you close to me?
Yes.
And the answer was, of course, or Colette. Let's see what people hear.
Are you close to me?
I'm going to have to listen to that again. I didn't get much out of that one myself. Let's try it again.
Are you close to me?
No, I can't make much out of that, folks.
It is hard. That's a really low one. I think the main reason we included it in this CD was it showed an interaction between Roger asking a question and then a voice responding to him.
Right. How frequently do you get that versus some comment or words or parts of a sentence that seem unconnected to what's going on in a contemporary sense?
We get it quite frequently, but it's still not as often as we'd like.
Meaning the contemporary response or a response to you versus not?
Either a response to, in his case, in that clip's case, a response to a question that was asked, or some kind of interaction with what we're doing as a group, not even pertaining to a ghost investigation. In fact, a couple of clips down, there's a really good example of it actually witnessing what we're doing.
But there's a lot that we record, that voices that we get, and they are so low, and we can't use them on the show, but we get those a lot. I believe they do. I think, in fact, those two that we played tonight, the bye-bye and see ya.
Right.
They.
Good point. See ya.
They knew we were leaving.
See ya is an interesting phrase.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
As though we see you now and we'll see you later.
Right.
Okay.
They know we'll be back.
Right. All right. Number 15.
This one, we were at an old Victorian-style house, and you will hear Jenny say, that window's open, but this voice says over her, get out.
Over her?
We are told that periodically to get out of a place we're investigating.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll pick up on that in a second. Let's hear this.
The window's open.
Yeah, that's clear, all right, and it did come over. Let's listen one more time. That voice definitely said, get out.
The window's open.
Now, when a voice tells you something like that, what do you do? Well, of course, I guess you don't discover it until later, do you?
That's right. But we always try to go back.
Uh-huh. To a place where you apparently are not welcome.
Yes.
Now, isn't that...
Because we've gotten other voices there besides just that one.
Yeah, okay, but isn't that a little risky? I mean, once something has told you to get out, that's a fairly direct command.
Yes, but hopefully we'll get some more good EVP from it.
okay. This next one looks very interesting. I've never heard, it says chorus of voices. Now, I've only heard a single voice each time for all the shows we've done. I've never heard a chorus of voices. Is that really what you mean?
Yes, it is actually a chorus of voices. I couldn't even guess how many voices you'll actually hear in this clip.
Where did you get it?
This was in the cemetery, and in the clip you'll hear Barbara say, I've got to put some bug spray on, I'm getting eaten alive.
Uh-huh.
And what's interesting is Radove, who is one of the founders of all this, there were people before him, but he's easily the most notable, reported getting choruses of voices. He said sometimes he heard 20 voices on one tape.
Wow. Wow. All right, let's listen. Here we go.
I got to put some spray on. I'm getting eaten. Right, you know, yeah.
there are a lot of voices there if you listen carefully. Let's do this one more time. Listen very carefully.
I got to put some spray on. I'm getting steam. All right, yeah.
Oh, that's really weird. That's really weird. That sounds almost like it was recorded in Grand Central Station or something.
Yeah, so we didn't have that many people with us.
Have you ever heard anything like that before, or is this your first?
I haven't.
I've gotten maybe two voices where there was, you could hear like two distinct voices, but not where it sounded like a crowd. And Roger had said right after this, he says, he had mentioned that he felt like there was a crowd of people around him like in a funeral home.
All right. I think you're both lost your minds, but I guess you do what you do, and this is what you do. All right, onward. What's the next one?
The next one was sent in by a listener.
This is just a listener submission that listened to your show, and we get, I mean, I can't even count how many of these we get.
Right.
I'd actually like to include more on the CDs. And there wasn't really a story behind it other than they had just went and investigated this house. But in the clip, you'll just hear a hide. The voice just says hide.
Hide. All right, here we go. Yep. Yep, I could definitely hear hide in there. Now, why would a voice from the other side say hide? Anybody
well,
have any thoughts?
We've recorded voices that have said hide, or there was another one, they're lighting up the cemetery in almost a way to get out of the way of our lights, our infrared lights.
Oh.
You know, there's times it almost seems as though they don't want to be seen, or they don't want us to even know that they're there.
Right. Now, again, I'm going to say this. We've done enough programs now, the three of us, that a lot of people in my audience have tried this for themselves. Very, very serious skeptics have gone out, and they've come back totally freaked out because they've gotten something. I mean, I'm sent a lot of samples myself,
mm-hmm.
Some of them pretty awful. And so be wary, folks. If you are going to try this, listen to what we said earlier about how to do it, the equipment to use, but don't be surprised if you really get something. And if you do, it's probably going to change the way you think about almost everything. I cannot see how you could do this, particularly as you all have, for years on end, without it changing your view of everything. Is that true?
Yes, there are so many things that we don't know about. Mankind has a sense that we have discovered and know everything, and as science progresses, we are finding that we have to rewrite everything that we thought we knew. And I think the technology as it advances, and what's just available to us as a common person, it enables you to do things, go out on investigations like this.
Well, as I've told my audience, Monday I've got a forensic pathologist is coming on, a doctor. And there are not many people, I'm not going to give her name, she'll be here Monday. Now, there are not many people who deal with death, who work in mortuaries, physicians, people who work in hostels, all kinds of areas where death is dealt with on a regular basis. These people usually will not talk about it. They simply will not talk about it. Particularly in our society, it's just not something that you talk about very often.
I don't think people are comfortable with it.
They're not. And most of the people who work in these fields know it. So, you know, this is going to be really something on Monday, but we are getting some pretty important evidence, I believe, in totality on this program that backs up exactly what you seem to be proving with these recordings, that there is indeed life after death or some sort of existence after death. I worry about the nature of it a lot, though. All right, what do we have now?
All right, this one, and this goes back to some form of contemporary information. Roger, we were investigating a cemetery, and GIS member Jenny recorded this. And Roger, he never actually said this out loud, but he was motioning to Barbara for his bug spray and a drink that was on the back of their car.
Mm-hmm.
And in this clip, you hear the voice say, "Roger, back near the car," and then it kind of almost chuckles at the end.
Really?
On this clip, the Roger doesn't come out as clear as it does on the website.
All right, here we go. Well, I'm not sure that I would have, if you hadn't told me what to listen for, that I would have heard anything close to it. That would take a lot of listening to sort of put together.
It really does.
In my mind. And that's probably true of more of them than not, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Their speech isn't like what you're used to hearing.
Maybe because on that side they don't really use speech as we do on this side, and it has to be projected in some alternative manner to us.
Right, they don't have the physical, you know, mouth, the throat, the voice box. I mean, and they don't sound, most of them don't sound like what you're used to hearing speech.
Okay, the next one.
This one was in a cemetery, and I recorded a voice that says, "You go now." It's very whispery and breathy.
Okay, here it is, folks. Oh. "You go now." That is a little clear for my taste. Listen again. See, these seem to be immediate commands. You get, or get out, and you go now, and similar things would seem to me to be commands, not questions, not wishes, but commands.
Right.
So when you hear these later, doesn't it concern you a little bit? Because you obviously didn't get out at, at the request or command.
No, I have never had anything to cause concern take place. They are wishing us to go, but nothing ever dangerous or threatening has ever happened, and I think that's a lot of it is a misconception of people that they have of a ghost.
Okay. The final one we have on this CD is coming up now, and where did you get this?
All right, well, this was in it's a separate cemetery than the last one, and it was recorded by Barbara, and, I mean, the voice comes in, and it just says, "Always breaking it."
So this voice, it was not responding to something you said?
Not really. It just pretty much came in and said, "Always breaking it."
Huh. All right, here we go. Let's take a listen. Oh, boy. That's pretty clear. One more time for that one. Listen very carefully. Always breaking it is what it's saying. Any idea what they were referring to?
I really have no idea.
No idea. Are you two, in fact, is the GIS going to continue actively doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes. This is my favorite thing of ghost investigating is when they talk to us.
All right, hold on. Stay right there. All right, when we come back, we've not had much of a chance in the past to do this, so we're going to open the phone lines and let you ask these two any question in the world you would like to. Coming up.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002. Listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
During the news break, I was listening to the news and USA Radio News, and they said that there is some thought, apparently, that that Osama bin Laden may have been hit by a CIA missile. Now, check me if I'm wrong here, but I didn't think the CIA had missiles. Did you? That's exactly what they said, though. A CIA missile. Now, of course, they could have meant a CIA-directed missile. That's not what they said, though. They said a CIA missiles. Or a CIA missile. Singular. Sorry. So, are we now to believe the CIA has a stock of missiles? Interesting.
Now, we take you back to the night of February 8th, 2002, on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Well, all right, this hour I would like to do what we really haven't had much time to do in the past. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth do very, very, very interesting work. Well, or it's a hobby. I suppose you all have to support yourselves, so you probably have jobs or something or another, right?
Yes. We work to support our
hobby
here.
Habit. Is that how you would now describe it, a habit?
No. It's really serious research. Would love to have the opportunity to go to some locations around the world that have reported haunting activity, some of the most haunted ones that are known. But since we are funding ourselves, we probably will not ever have a chance to, but we, you know, it's a serious research for us, and we put in as much time into this as we do our regular jobs.
Believe me, I understand, if not more, no doubt, because I'm sure you do it on weekends, too. All right, I'd like to go to the phones. We haven't had a chance to allow enough people to ask you enough questions about all of this. It is fascinating work or hobby. First-time caller in line, you're on the air with Brennan Cook and Barbara McBeth. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, where are you, sir?
San Diego, California.
All right.
Going back to what you said on the break there, yes, the CIA does have missiles. You're... Predator remote reconnaissance aircraft is capable of firing is firing a missile at a selected target by the ground control. So that's probably what happened.
All right. Interesting.
Going very interesting work that you guys are doing with the EVPs there.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've been to the Whaley House in San Diego down here.
We've heard a lot about it. We haven't had a chance to go there yet.
It's a very interesting place. I live in the area, and I've spent quite a bit of time there with my girlfriend. And you mentioned that you take cameras as well as your recording equipment out to the sites that you're visiting. My question is, have you had any sort of equipment anomalies or malfunctions or other sorts of...
That's actually a very, very good question. A lot of ghost investigators have reported batteries drained, electromagnetic influence of all sort going on that affected their equipment, cameras, and or recorders. What about you guys?
It happens quite a bit. We'll purchase brand new batteries for our cameras and our recorders and have them not work the minute we get there to a location.
And do you think it's the electromagnetic sump field or whatever in the area?
We had our batteries just completely drained when it's been a brand new battery on our cameras, our video cameras, where we've charged them before we go, and they are completely drained within 5 minutes.
Oh, brother.
But as we mentioned before, I mean, we have seen correlations between spikes in the EMF meter and, you know, equipment failure, EVP, any kind of ghost phenomena, period.
So you have more than just camera and recording equipment with you?
Yes, we have infrared video cameras, thermal scanner, EMF detector.
Oh, wow. How frequently can you correlate... go back and correlate something recorded on the EMF detector or in infrared or anything else with what you heard?
To be honest, I really do not know. My guess would be maybe 30% of the time there's an actual correlation that we can, physically see comparing the EVP to the EMF detector.
Fascinating. All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air with GIS. Hello. Hello? Oh, no, I didn't push the button. Now I have wildcard line. Now you're on the air. Sorry about that.
I'm on the air?
You are.
Excellent. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to them for doing their work with such obvious integrity. And while I was sitting on hold, I actually had a thought that I wanted to quickly share about. I mean, I think that each person is unique and individual and has their own unique and individual belief system. And there's every chance that when... Each individual unique person dies, they have a unique individual experience based on their belief system and what they've had growing up and all of that kind of stuff. But that wasn't really my question. My question is about, like, seeing them a lot in cemeteries, which was mentioned early on in the program.
Yes.
Being able, like, why would you see them in cemeteries? Who wants to hang out by their rotting body and all?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if... Like, that has anything to do, or not that you would know, but if you ever had any feeling that maybe that is sort of induced by their belief system, I've heard stories about some ghosts hanging out to sort of comfort the living.
It is possible. There are some religions that believe when you die, you're going to be resurrected, your body will be resurrected, and your spirit will stay by your body until it is resurrected to walk the earth again.
So, I mean, it is possible that it is a belief system, and that's what causes them to stay with their bodies.
Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to know, do you guys do anything before you go to a cemetery or to a haunted place in the way of protection, like to protect yourselves from possible, you know, negative entities?
Well, I myself, I put myself in a certain frame of mind. I know that I've been with people where they imagine a white light around them for protection. And,
mm-hmm.
I don't do that myself.
You don't?
No. But I do put myself in a certain frame of mind most of the time when I go.
Does that have anything to do with the success rate, do you think?
I believe it does, and I think the rest of the members of the GIS would think the same way. If you put yourself in the frame of mind that you're really open to communicating with them, and a lot of it almost seems to be attitude. I mean, the attitude you have when we're out, or when you're out.
All right. Suppose I were to say to you that I really do believe, without any reservation whatsoever, that the living human mind can do a lot of things that we don't know about. I mean, there's absolutely no question about that. The living human mind can do some pretty strange things.
That's correct.
We occupy actively only a very small portion of it.
Right.
And don't understand much about the rest of it. Now, people can have most of their brain taken away from them in a physical operation and still retain memories and all the rest of it. Still be essentially normal, half a brain gone.
Right.
So we don't understand a lot about the human brain. Has it ever occurred to you that you all might be in some way responsible for the voices on the tape? I don't mean in a trickery type way or a fraud type way, because I don't believe that for one second. But I mean, have you ever considered that you
that we're causing it?
Yeah,
ourselves?
That's right, that you're causing it.
I understand exactly what you're asking. We've been asked this a number of times. And, you know, that could be, but the only problem with that is when we get these contemporary information responses, such as the plastic eyes that we played before, we had no idea that that was something that was done when you prepare a body.
Yeah, I didn't either. That's probably more than I wanted to know.
Yeah, it is. It is more than a lot of people would want to know. But
and that exactly makes my earlier point that people who deal with death learn not to talk about their work. Even if there are anomalous things, they don't talk about it because people don't want to hear it.
It makes people very uncomfortable.
Plastic eyes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS folks. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi. Where are you?
I'm Marcia in Fort Smith, Arkansas, listening to you on KWIN 1650 and 1320 AM out of Fort Smith.
Well, that's the way to do it. All right.
Thank you. Good morning, Barbara, Brendan. It's been a wonderful show.
Thank you.
I have a young friend with me who is just embarking on her journey into spirituality, so this has been very enlightening for her. And the questions I had were actually hers. Art, she's a little bashful about talking to you. Yet.
That's all right. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Just
she'll go ahead. She'll get in there one of these nights.
Okay, ask away for her.
Okay. Number one, the voice that you recorded that said, get out. You did make the comment that you try to go back to places. When you go back, do you try to talk to the specific entity that may have told you to get out to try to find out why they wanted you to leave?
Yes.
And what have you found out?
Many times we won't get a reply.
Okay. Have you ever run across any of the voices? I think in the past you've had some that say, help me or whatever. Do you ever try to help any of those spirits go to the light on your return trips?
Well, when we return, we'll ask them if they can to tell us what kind of help they need, if it's a spiritual help or if it's physical help, if they need something told to somebody. Very seldom, in fact, very rarely do we get any kind of response to that.
Okay. Well, that's super that you do try to help. One personal question, Barbara. Do you have any relatives living in Fort Smith, Arkansas?
No, but I've got a lot in Louisiana and Texas.
Well, I was going to say I live next door to some people whose last name was McBeth, spelled the same way yours is. And I was wondering if there was any relation.
That's my husband. That's my married name.
If you have the opportunity, you ought to come to Fort Smith. We've got Judge Parker's courtroom and gallows. I'm sure you might have some interesting
Yeah, there's so many places that I would...
Oh, yeah, there's
you know,
a great one.
Every one of us would love to get to...
Yeah, go to a gallows, by all means.
Yeah.
Well, that should make an interesting night. All right, well, thank you very much, ma'am. I have a question for you. Have you ever, on a return, I know that you go back again and again to the same location, that you've got favorite locations. So my question is, have you ever identified, beyond question in your minds, the same voice on two separate trips?
Oh, yes.
Yes. We, in fact, there's one that used to talk to us. We got his voice all through the summer, a couple of summers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It sounded like the very same man every time.
Yeah, what I'm trying to figure out is whether, you know, the ghosts inhabit the same location. Apparently the answer is generally yes.
Yeah, although now it seems he's almost moved on. I mean, this was a couple of years ago when we had recorded his voice constantly.
Fascinating.
And
huh.
Now we go back to the same cemetery and... We haven't heard that same voice at all in probably the last year and a half.
Sure would love to know what that means.
Well, hopefully he's moved on to where he should be.
All right. Meaning that when you heard him, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. You hope, right?
I believe that the voices that we record are spirits that are either bound here for some reason, have chosen to stay. They have not progressed on to where
they're supposed to go. Yeah. All right, West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Art. This is Rosita in Western Washington, listening to Como.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to ask two questions. One is, have you ever or anyone in your group gone to a relative's or a good friend's grave and... have you gotten anything there? And my second question is, have you ever asked any of these contacts for advice?
We have gone to a location. A friend of ours, a personal friend, had committed suicide in his home.
Mm-hmm.
And they had ghost activity there, and his wife had asked us to go. And we believe that we recorded his voice. But I have never asked a spirit for advice.
Do you recall what he said?
He...
Swore.
He swore.
That brings up another topic. Thank you very much, ma'am. How much bad language comes from the other side?
We get it occasionally. We've gotten some, but that's not the norm, really.
Interesting, because there's a lot of bad language over here.
Yes, and in fact, the chorus of voices, I could hear swearing in that one.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Glad you didn't point that out to me earlier. Okay, first-time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hi.
Hi, this is Angela. Calling from San Diego,
yes,
California.
Yes.
Hi, I have a question for Barbara. I was wondering, you know, these EVP recordings. I've gotten one myself at the Whaley House, and it was amazing. It really was.
Do you recall what it said?
Oh yeah,
what?
I have it still.
What?
Well, this woman was. There was only four people in the Whaley House at the time. The head docent. And I, and this woman and her husband. And she was really in tune with things going on in that house. And she tape recorded this. She was talking to them, asking them questions, saying, you know, why are you here? You know, hello, 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 all of you. And all of a sudden you hear this woman's voice, loud and clear, say, come. Twice, and I am not kidding you. I've never heard anything in my life like that. That really changed the way I felt about it. And I, you know, you've got some of my pictures posted on your website. from the Waiting House.
Might I ask, what made you decide to begin to investigate EVP, ma'am?
I didn't. She tape recorded it and gave me a copy. I had no idea what it even was.
I see.
And you know, she called me the next day, and I had gotten some pictures that night that she was there with me. And it was just an incredible experience. And
it is incredible.
I still have, it really was. And the voice sounded so sincere and it just so desperate and lonely. And it was this woman's voice. And you know the story of the Whaley House. You know, Violet committed suicide, shot herself in the heart. And I think she really is still there. Now, here's my question for you is, you know, I know that some of the EVPs you get, they don't really make sense, you know, and not like they're really in our time. And then other ones do. Do you think there's more than one type of spirit or ghost, you know, like layers of them, like some that maybe can communicate with us and some that have no clue that we're there? They're just still there like a you know, a tape recorder going over and over and over.
Like the old proverbial tape loop. Folks?
I do believe that it's a frame of mind, a state of mind. I do believe that there is hauntings that are like residual hauntings.
So in other words, the answer to the question is yes, there are different types of ghosts.
Right. I do believe that there are. Myself, I believe it.
That sure does complicate matters. All right, hold it right there. We're at the bottom of the hour. It really does complicate matters. Different types of ghosts. Some that are there as a consciousness, and some that are not there as a consciousness. Some that are just echoes repeating tape loops. Wonder which kind I'll be. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002. Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired February 8th, 2002.
Ghost Investigators Society is here. How about you? You want to grab a tape recorder? Go into a cold night and maybe a mausoleum and see if you can duplicate their efforts? They invite it. You're welcome to try it. Not exactly my cup of tea. In fact, if I got a positive response, I'm not so sure I'd even want to hear it. But we will be right back.
listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from February 8th, 2002.
Once again, into the night, I want to remind you, you can contact the Ghost Investigators Society. They've got an email address. They won't sell you anything, but they'd be glad to hear from you. It's gis@ghostpix.com. That's GHOSTPIX. That's the way you spell it. Ghostpix, GHOSTPIX, all together. So gis@ghostpix.com. Welcome back. I have one quick question from John. No, not John. Who is it from? Where did that question go? Oh, no. Oh, here it is. Ray in Dunwoody, Georgia. Have they ever had a sound engineer go over their tape, somebody who's an expert in the field?
No, we actually haven't.
Would you like to?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely would. It's something that we're more than open to.
Okay. It would be interesting to see what they would conclude. First time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS folks. Hello.
Aloha from the island of Kauai.
Oh, aloha.
Given that your guests have a stronger than average knowledge of the recently departed, I do have a question. My brother was found yesterday at his place of work with his throat slashed.
Oh, my.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He was a marine biologist in Northern California.
Uh-huh.
And I would like to know if your guests have any feelings about getting in touch with people perhaps before they make that final transition, if maybe they're still hanging around a bit.
All right. It's a very, very, very good question. In other words, you folks, have you ever been to an extremely recent suicide murder scene or anything of that nature? Arrived there very quickly trying to capture something that might be still immediately about?
Yes, we have. It was an unintentional time. We didn't realize it. We had gone into a funeral home that had probably about 13 bodies in there that they were preparing for funeral services.
And
some of these bodies were, we found out later, had just been brought in. We did get EVP that night.
Hmm. So do you think it more likely that in places where there are recently departed, your batting average of EVP goes up?
No, I don't believe so. There's locations that have been known haunted for hundreds of years. There's a couple of places that we've gone to that have had a long history of haunting activity.
Okay. All right. Wildcard line it is. You're on the air with Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Janet. I'm from Cedar Hill, Texas. It's outside of Dallas. I listen to KLIF on 570.
Yes, ma'am.
I am thrilled to talk with these people. The last time y'all were on the program, I've always been real open to that, but there's a big difference in, you know, thinking of the possibility and actually experiencing it. And
right.
I just happen to have, a dictaphone that I use for work. And so it was like late in the afternoon, and I was driving by a small cemetery out here where I live. And just out of curiosity, I turned it on, and I just for 30 minutes walked through and, you know, kind of stopped and would talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I replayed it,
What happened to you?
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone died or something.
No, you're still
there.
Then
when I replayed the recording, there was this one grave. You know how sometimes they'll have a picture of the person on the gravestone?
Yes.
It was a man that was very good looking, and he really struck me. And I think that's why I got a response. And I said, "Oh my God, you're so good looking." And I said, "You and you were so young, you were so handsome." Well, as I'm playing this back, after I say this, I hear a real low that I cannot understand, and it's like slow motion. So I have variable speed on my recorder. So I turned it on high speed, and you can hear my voice sounding like Mickey Mouse real fast.
Right.
And when it was turned up, you clearly hear him say, "You're good looking too."
Ooh.
That,
ha-ha.
I was... So I got home. I didn't tell my family anything about it. I got to that part, and I said, "Listen to this, and what do you hear this person say?" Because I wanted to make sure I'm not imagining.
Uh-huh.
And it says, some guy saying, "You're good-looking, too."
You don't have that handy, do you?
I've still got the tape, but it's, you know, I've played it over and over so much, and I've tried using, like, a cool edit technique to clean it up, and I don't know how to do it. It seems pretty complicated, and I wanted to. I'm glad I gave these. You gave out these people's email address because I want to get more information.
All right. Well, that's the way to do it. Thank you very much for that story. Boy, that's interactive, contemporary, and frightening. You're good looking too. Like he's just hanging there by the picture on his grave. Oh man. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS Group. Hello.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm an American Indian.
Yes, sir.
I grew up around spirituality as a child. Have the guests, have they ever talked with spirits without a tape recorder?
Ah, good question. I know they've heard audible things, but have you ever had what you would consider to be an interactive reaction with a spirit or whatever?
Not so much where they've actually talked with us. I mean, there are times that we go out and we've run out of tape, and we're still talking with them, even though we aren't actually tape recording.
Right.
And we still invite them to talk with us, and in the case of the clip we played earlier, you know, we invite them to show themselves to us and or make a noise or a sign that they can hear us.
There have been also times when we do hear them audibly, and
if I were to hear a ghost audibly and it became interactive with me in a conversation or something, that would be way too much. Way too much. So you haven't really had that exactly?
No, not so much to where we've had sentences. I mean, we have heard noises, we've heard words, we've heard sounds. What's even more interesting is there's been times we've heard sounds and they don't pick up on the tape recorder, but we've all audibly heard them.
Okay, I want to suggest something to you that a listener called in during one of the breaks about, and I think we've had this on a previous show, but I don't know how much depth we got into. The technology you're using could be modified in a pretty unique way, and I want you both to think about this. Anybody who knows anything about reel-to-reel recorders knows that, and there's not a lot of difference between a reel-to-reel and what you're using now, really, but they know that you can make a special tape setup where a tape runs by a record head, and there's 7 or 8 or 10 seconds of space in between before it hits the playhead. And so there would be the possibility that you could actually hear, you could sit and listen to what's being recorded. You'd be listening to it about 7 or 10 seconds later, which would allow you some greater measure, a gigantic greater measure of interactivity if you wanted to try it. Do you follow me?
Yes.
Have you considered it?
I believe Barbara has an old reel-to-reel recorder.
I do have a reel-to-reel,
well, they
but
require,
it weighs a ton.
And they require a big modification, too, in order to separate the record and the playhead. But it can be done. A device could be rigged to do this, which would allow you an immediate interaction. In other words, at all times, you'd be listening to what happened 10 seconds ago or what was recorded 10 seconds ago. Now, think about it. Because it would open up a whole new aspect of what you're doing.
It would. It's something that should be definitely looked into.
We have had, in fact, we've had a couple of people offer through email to send it to us, and we need to get a P.O. box because I don't want to give out home addresses.
I see. You're right. You do need a P.O. box. All right. Very good. Well, just a thought, and a pretty good one, because it would extend the your ability to immediately get an immediate response. I mean, if one of these entities were to say something and you were able to detect really what it was and respond in some way, you might then generate an ongoing dialogue of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Be kind of scary, but interesting. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS group. Hi. Push the button, Arthur. Now you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This may seem weird. I was wondering when the ghost said to so-and-so who was over by the car, you know, well, not to them, but it was talking about them. If that was the ghost planning to somehow enter their energy interpretation point in their body, or cross through them while thinking a thought, it's obviously they can think things or, well, project things. And if it were to cross through a mind or in somebody's body at a point where the energy is interpreted.
Are you talking about the voice that said back near the car?
Uh-huh. If it was planning to make him think something or interpret something to him.
It could be possible, or it also could be, and we found this on a lot of our EVPs, some almost frustration that they will say something to us and almost like they get frustrated that we can't hear them at the time. And I personally believe that it was just trying to tell Roger that his drink and bug spray were back in
the back
of the car.
On our back bumper.
That's
where they were sitting.
So then do you realize the value that 7 or 10 seconds would have between record and play?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with the GIS group. Hello.
Hi. My name's Hannah. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was curious. I apologize if this has been addressed before, but I wanted to know what they thought, if they're aware of this. If what they thought about shadow people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's been dealt with enough on my program, that's for sure. I don't know whether you all have listened enough to have heard the shadow people discussions, but do you have any thoughts on the subject?
We have seen these things when we have been out on investigations.
And there you go.
I've also videotaped one at a school in an auditorium that's up on our website.
My.
But I know that a lot of interpretation goes into these. A lot of people feel like they're wicked or evil because of the, I think because a lot of it is associated with them being color black. And but I don't believe that. I feel like they're just a regular manifestation of ghosts that are able to manifest themselves in many different ways. And I think that that is just one way that they manifest.
All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air with the GIS group.
Good evening. How are you? Hello.
Yeah, we're fine, sir. Go ahead.
This is Gary from Waterloo, Ontario.
Yes,
Canada.
Yes.
You're an interesting gentleman, Art.
Thank you.
I have a question of a little bit of skepticism here for your guests. Essentially, they use handheld mini cassette recorders, correct, with an external microphone?
Yes, that's correct.
Why, with all the technology available, and I'm sure Art's aware of this, have you not taken a decent Nagra unit or a remote battery-operated DAT DAT machine,
Okay, I'll give you the answer, and we have worked this out. I asked exactly the same question.
Yeah, I believe we have talked about this before.
And there's a really good answer to it. You don't seem to get things on DAT machines, and the answer probably is as follows. Most ghost manifestations, no matter how they are, physical, a light you see, a voice you hear, whatever, involve electromagnetic radiation. And tape recorders, obviously, with tape heads, are very sensitive electromagnetic devices to imprint or to play back. Very, very sensitive. And so, obviously, if the the mode is electromagnetic, then you could imagine that it would show up on a tape, received on a tape head, but not in digital form, not at all in digital form. That's why tapes. Is that the right answer?
Yes. And there's one other problem. We have had members use the little mini disc recorders and the DAT recorders.
Right.
And there's the problem of digital static, which it could actually sound somewhat like a voice.
Really?
Especially if you have an untrained ear for actually listening to EVP.
Yeah, digital artifacts, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sure. Okay, very good. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS Group. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, my name is Lawrence from Austin, Texas.
Yes, sir.
KLBJ 590. I had read a book a while back called Voices from the Tapes. At some point during that book, they were saying something about how they constructed some kind of receiver for these voices, and they would listen to them at night and that they got better response at night. And so what I was curious about is, since you've mentioned, or since your guests have mentioned that they can go back to the same location and get voices, the same kinds of voices, do they ever try to go, or have you ever tried to go and go back during different phases of the moon to see perhaps maybe if there is greater efficacy at some different phase or less,
right, right.
You know, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have, and we've gone out on every phase of the moon that there is. I haven't found anything that causes it to do with the moon. We've gone out on a full moon to these locations and haven't gotten anything. We've gone out when there is no moon, when it's a new moon, and have gotten a lot. I don't see any kind of correlation with the moon.
All right. How about this kind of a technical question, but if it's a electromagnetic imprint on the tape, then have you considered the use of preamplifiers for the microphones? Have you considered the use of something that would enhance in some way an electromagnetic imprint?
We have, and it's just basically getting it, obtaining the equipment to do it. We have thought about using, like, the bionic ears and...
Yes.
Things of that nature.
Directional microphones with a parabola behind them, that sort of thing?
Yes. And, you know, as we've mentioned so many times before, since we do fund ourselves, it's just basically obtaining all this equipment takes time. I mean, it is something eventually we will get.
Well, listen, you two, as always, I want to thank you for coming on and freaking me out.
Well, we appreciate you asking us on again.
All right. And again, I'm sure we'll have you back again and again. So good luck out there in the cold places, huh?
Thank you.
Take care of yourself, Art.
Good night.
Good night.
That's the GIS. And their email, folks, is GIS at ghostpix, that's PIX.com. That's GIS at ghost, GHOST, PIX for pix.com. For this week, that's about it. We'll be back on Monday. That's going to be quite a program. You don't want to miss Monday's program. For now, from the high desert, in the dark, in the cold, I'm Art Bell. Ta-ta.